I'm very hopeful of this sermon. I probably shouldn't say this, that it'll be able to touch some lives. So it's the way I start. In this week's Torah portion, this week's Parashah, these words are at the very beginning. This is the ritual of the burnt offering. The burnt offering itself shall remain where it is burned on the altar all night long until morning, while the fire on the altar is kept going on it. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning, not to go out. Okay, you all got the picture? There's an altar, there's a fire, okay? All night long. Every morning, a priest shall feed the wood to it, lay out the burnt offering on it, turn the fat parts into smoke of the offerings and the offering of well-being. A perpetual fire shall be kept burning on the altar, not to go out. So what this means is that your ancestors, I mean, you got to think about this as people, you know, I mean, you got to go back 2,000 years, but your ancestors, real people, okay? People, if they didn't exist, we wouldn't exist, had this spiritual connection with God on a daily basis and in a very physical way. They offered all kinds of sacrifices. You know, they brought animals to the altar. They slaughtered them. They turned them into smoke on a fire on the altar, and they offered these things to God. Animals, birds, meal offerings, incense, all as kind of an offering or a pleasing odor to God to connect us inextricably to the power of the universe. Tonight's Torah portion, as I said, commands not once, but twice, don't let the fire go out, even for a moment. And the Torah repeats its meaning, but, you know, the Torah is never supposed to repeat. So if you have a repetition in the Torah, the rabbis tell us it's because there's a special meaning about it. And, you know, in the very next book of the Torah, in the book of Numbers, we're going to find something about this week's Torah portion. We have a description 6 weeks from now, probably 8 weeks from now, we have a description of packing up the altar. See, this altar that's been described for the last number of weeks, it's portable. You know, the Israelites packed it up. They carried it with them. And in the book of Numbers, here's what it's going to say. They shall take all the service vessels with which the service in the sanctuary is performed, put them into a blue cloth, cover them with a covering of dolphin skin. Don't ask me where they got the dolphin skin. It's probably a bad translation. It's always translated as dolphin skin, but we don't really know what it means, okay? And then they put it on a carrying frame. They shall remove the ashes from the copper altar and spread a purple cloth over it. Which is to say, if they left the altar burning all the time, that would mean that the fire burned the cloth or burned up the cloth, so it's not possible that the Israelites transported this thing, okay, without letting the fire go out. So as you might imagine, the Bible commentators debated what this meant. There was a Talmudic rabbi, Rabbi Judah, who thought that the fire nonetheless was kept going, and the Torah tells us they put it in a certain kind of container, and somehow it managed to continue to burn. Rabbi Shimon contended that the fact that they placed the purple cloth over it meant that the fire was smothered and it went out. But then, if that's the case, why do we say, keep a fire burning on the altar, don't let it go out, not once, but twice? So it's easy enough to say, look, try your best. If you have to travel, let the fire go out. You'll relight it when you get there. Okay, that's one possible interpretation. Or maybe there was never a sanctuary. Maybe this is actually never a problem. Maybe this all applied to the first temple where they didn't have to let it go out because they didn't transport it. Or maybe there's something else going on here. Judaism proposes that there are parallel worlds. There is a physical world, and there is a spiritual world. The altar connecting us with God and the fire built on the altar correspond then to spiritual realities, not just physical realities. The altar within us and the fire of faith that we have, we must keep burning in order to connect to God. The rabbis teach that there wasn't just one altar, there were three. There was a large altar on which the daily sacrifices were offered in the morning and in the afternoon. Then there was a smaller altar on which the priests burned incense offerings and things that were turned into smoke. And the smallest altar kept burning only because if the large altar grew weak, The small altar would be used to take fire from the small altar in order to grow the big one. Do not let the fire go out. So they kept an auxiliary altar just in case it got too close. We're not concerned about sacrifices in our lives. Our concern, particularly we liberals, concerned about keeping faith going. So what are those three altars for us? The large altar is our everyday existence. Things are going well in our lives. Living feels orderly. No one comes and attacks us for wearing a hoodie. No one delivers a pink slip after 25 years of faithful service and tells us rudely to pick up our stuff and clean out our desk. The sun rises, the traffic flows freely. We even arrive at work without a flat tire or being cursed by strangers who are captives to time. And if we have minor aches and pains, we set them aside. We don't worry about them too much. The kids are okay for now. Life will continue on. Orderly life means God is in his heaven. And if we don't feel threatened, we come to pray and visit with our friends. And we don't need God right now. And that's okay with us. Just so I shouldn't have to need God. And then there are the moments when things go badly. We retreat to the altar of incense, the second altar. It's the smaller altar. We spend less of our time there normally. But in this place in our lives, we feel we can retreat to find God. Some of us retreat to find God in the out of doors. For others, maybe it's art or poetry. For some, it's family, loving, or a spouse, or a hobby that makes us happy, makes us feel safe. Some retreat in our lives. The altar of incense is our personal sanctuary, the place privately held to which we repair when torn by life stresses so badly that it appears there is no order and therefore no God, the place that we can go to restore ourselves. People come and talk to me about those places, places that they go to simply say, I have to reconstruct life. And you can't even necessarily talk about it with others. The sanctuary of our lives, our personal incense altar, these restore our essential internal sense of order. And God willing, we all have such a place, because if not, we certainly need to construct one. And finally, there is that other altar. We all know that things can occur that severely challenge or even destroy our faith. There are times like tragedy or severe illness, times of injustice, moral incomprehension, when God seemingly turns God's face away from us. That's even the traditional language, that God turns God's face away. Trayvon Martin's murder is such a case, but there are many cases of unjust death. Only a few of them rise to public notice. Certainly the Holocaust looms over them all. But there are others. Illness so often seems to come out of nowhere and attack us like a pirate, stealing everything for which we have worked so hard. Family members, our wealth, our very existence stands in jeopardy. I see people with chemotherapy that could tear people down so that they wonder if life is worth all the pain that they have to suffer, without knowing whether, in fact, it will pan out for them in the end. This economic downturn felt like a siege against house and home to many. Friendships were sometimes threatened. People could not maintain their own sense of their own personal dignity. How could this happen to us, people asked, most often quietly. Sometimes such tragedy removes the very possibility of faith. Because the orderliness of life has been torn, and surely as a gang demolishing a treehouse or as a bulldozer rumbling over a shack, life is crushed and without seemingly any warning. Then, to maintain the altar of faith, we turn to the smallest of the altars, the altar that is there simply to fulfill this week's commandments. keep the fire burning always. If we cannot find the fire within us at those moments, then we turn to the closest community, to those we honor, to those we respect, to those with whom we share the inmost parts of our lives, to those who have walked the path of life with us. And we nurture ourselves in those moments, not necessarily with our faith, but with theirs. So let me tell you a story. I was recently with a friend I hadn't seen for about a year. We went out to dinner with a mutual friend, and I asked, as I will, shall we get a bottle of wine? My friend said to me, and as a man I've known for a great many years, he said to me, I'm an alcoholic. We've been out to dinner, as you might imagine, before, and I didn't have any idea. He's a rabbi with a prayer life. We were at a national convention. He told me that his most meaningful prayer experience is attending AA meetings on Shabbat morning. A man who has spent his entire life in prayer. And the most meaningful prayer experience he has now is being with his friends in AA. Nearly killed himself. Nearly took his own life. He said, Mark, there's a pastor there, spent most of his life in prison. He has no education, but he says to me, we need to share this together. What do they have in common? Not their education, not their background, not their history, but they share the existential condition of facing a threat mutually to their lives that no one can comprehend but the two of them. He said to me, that man understands my struggle. These guys in this room, they do anything for me. They'd lay down their lives for me. That's where I am most comfortable. And see, that's the third altar. It's the place, maybe even this sanctuary, but wherever you can find it, where we can be ourselves and we can listen to and share not some made-up life journey, but the real life journey of the person sitting next to us. We have people here on all kinds of journeys. Cancer, alcoholism, loss of a parent, loss of a child that stays with you for the rest of your life. The spirituality of the third altar is the reason we have self-help groups, where people can attend to tell their story and discover that they are not alone, that they are supported, that others can help get them through this. That is the role of a faith community. Bonnie and Mickey Swade run groups for suicide survivors, teaching people that though the road is rocky, life returns its order and meaning, and with the companionship of real friends, God and meaning can again be present in our lives. My friends, that's true religion. That's what we come here to share. It's the friendship of a person who faithfully shares your life struggle that can touch us and restore our hope. This is not a place of pretense. We need all three of these altars. We keep the fire burning on each one of them. The daily altar of meaning in which we go about our merry way and God willing all things are well. The altar of personal sanctuary to restore ourselves when we are crushed for the moment, but we have a place to repair, a place to return to, such that we can become whole again. And finally, the altar of deep friendship and companionship on life's journey, which people are simply willing to listen to you heart and soul. We can be there for someone else. They can be safe, and they can share, and they can keep the fire going. This is where we journey together. The fire shall not go out. May we, this faith community, have the strength and the tenacity and the blessing to nurture our altars, to be the person who keeps the fire burning on our own altars, and maybe the altar of someone else. To have the courage to nurture the fire on the altar, even of a stranger, when we discover that through our experience, we are their fire tenders, that our experience was there for a reason to be a blessing in the life of someone else. We then become the priest who tends the fire of God. Do not let it go out.